for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, December the 30th, 2006. Ernie Mazzullo is the speaker of the evening, teaching on God has not given us a spirit of fear. In the beginning of this message, Glenn Miller shares a little about the CD called Eagle Saints. This is catalog number 77 LHCD 6-19 by Art Johnson and can be ordered through the website. You'll love it.
And amen. Kevin has made some CDs of a wonderful service that we had here many years ago by a man named Art Johnson, Art and Lily Johnson. They were wonderful ministers of the Lord, and they've both gone on to be with the Lord. But he taught one day, and it's titled Eagle Saints. Eagle Saints. Now, Brother Pittman was talking about Eagle Saints here the other night. But and it was very good. But Brother Art goes into the Eagle Saint and the eagle in comparison to the far greater depth than Brother Howard did. And so if you're interested in the eagle and the Eagle Saints and the life of the eagle, why, you would be interested in that CD. Brother Howard notified me before he left that this morning that I was to remember to call him, and he will be here next year for camp meeting, which he has been. This was his 24th straight year of being here, and he has come and blessed us. Amen, amen. Well, I think it's time to put Brother Ernie up here and let him talk, because my voice isn't quite as good as his, but it's sure better tonight. It is. Hallelujah. I'm talking without feeling like I'm straining. Amen. Amen. That's wonderful. Well, Brother Ernie.
Well, praise the Lord. What our brother's passing out is the list of scripture that I use in my talk, and it's pretty well an outline, so that if I come to a particular scripture, you'll know I'm coming to the end. No? And, the greatest obstacle to receiving a healing, the greatest obstacle to deliverance, the greatest obstacle to receiving anything from Jesus is fear. Amen. Fear. I know I'm talking to some fathers and mothers out here, and we became fathers and mothers because we had sons and daughters. And some of these sons or daughters, if we knew what was coming down the road, we would have said, no, thank you, Lord. But we received them because they were a gift given by Jesus. I used to dread the holidays. I used to dread the holidays when my children were not home, waiting for a call late at night. Waiting for a call late at night. The key scripture for all of my talk tonight, which is entitled Sound Mind, Not Fear, is taken from 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Whenever I don't have a sound mind, then the mind that I have isn't from Jesus. Because he said he'll give me a sound mind. Now, what has made my mind unsound? Not Jesus. And I refuse to give credit to the devil. Well, if you take and say, it's not from you, Lord Jesus, and I don't want to give you any credit, Satan, then I go and look at the author of the unsoundness. And he's there right in front of my face in the mirror. You know, Mom and I have been married 62 years. She was the sweetest, the southern country girl. I met her in North Carolina, in Greensboro, during the war. Caught her in Beaumont. Chased her up to Connecticut and got married there in Connecticut. They were so afraid that their baby brother was going to be trapped by some southern tramp that was just out to get his GI insurance and hope that he wouldn't come back from the war. But when they met my wife, turned completely around, how did that no good bum of a brother of mine find such a sweetheart? Polite, kind, humble. Everything that I wasn't. When God wants to talk to his people, it seems that the same message travels throughout the entire body. I believe that God is quickening us to the knowledge of the personage of the Holy Spirit. We often refer to him as the third person of the Trinity, or the third person of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we really haven't concentrated on the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, I didn't know how to be a father, and I had 8 children, 4 sons and 4 daughters. I didn't know how to be a husband. I was married 25 years until the teacher. Now, I know about teachers. I was a teacher for 37 years, from kindergarten up to college. I got the degree from this college. I got my master's from Yale University. I was a teacher of teachers until the teacher came. And he began to teach me how to be a loving father and a caring husband. Praise God Almighty. See, I know the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised my Jesus from the dead, raised me from the pit. I didn't even know I was in a pit. Blinded beyond belief. Blinded. Egotism. Pride. Jesus says in John 16:13-14, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. For he shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. That's what I learned about Jesus. Whatever was shown to me by the Holy Spirit. He's so gentle and so kind. You see, he's the only reality there is in life. Everything else is a facade. It's a smokescreen. Right. The Holy Spirit guides us from error and into truth. For he's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of the Father. He's the Spirit of Jesus. His purpose in coming to us is to glorify Jesus and to make us like Jesus. And little by little, he's making me like Jesus. That's my hope. That's my goal. That's my aspiration. Oh, to be like Jesus. Not just on a Sunday morning, but when I'm in the public shopping center. Oh, that they may see Jesus in me when they look upon me. That I may reflect the glory of my God that lives inside me. You can't be a phony. You can't be you can't manufacture it. When it's really real, they'll know it. However, one of the greatest obstacles to receiving guidance from the Holy Spirit and hearing His voice is fear. Fear will hinder us from receiving from God and from walking in God's kingdom as conquerors. Fear hinders us from growing in the Lord. Fear is the mountain in our pathway. Scripture speaks to us about the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in John 14:16-18, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. I paused on that word, another. As an English teacher, I like to look into words. What do they mean? What is the connotation? Another comforter. Who is he comparing to, from, against? I will pray the Father, he will send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You know him, he dwells with you and in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you but you've gone away, Jesus. You're not walking the earth. Lord, I went to Israel. I walked those paths that you walked in. I walked to the Gethsemane. I was there in Nazareth and saw the fountains, Lord God. I walked the path of the Dead Sea, Lord God. And every place I put my foot, Jesus was with me in the form of the Holy Spirit. Notice how many times God says, I give you, or I will give you, or I gave you. God is constantly giving, giving, giving. He is a giving God. What kind of spirit did God give to us? He gave us His Spirit. The same Spirit that He breathed into Adam. The same Spirit that was in the prophets of old. The same Spirit that was and is in Jesus Christ. He is the Holy Spirit. He is God. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a person. He's another comforter, Christ being the first comforter. When Jesus was walking upon this earth, He comforted the people by healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. Wherever He went, Jesus brought comfort to the people. Then Jesus says, I'm going back to my Father, but I will send you another comforter, one who can do all the things that Jesus did. See, Jesus in an earthly body was only able to be in one place at one time, but the Spirit, the Comforter, will be able to be with you and in everyone who confesses Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If you have committed yourself to Jesus, if you have said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you are the Son of the living God, I want you to be my God. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins. Please come into my heart and take control, mind, body, and spirit in every way. That's what He did. See, there's no doorknob on the outside of the door. And all my life, for 43 years, He was knocking on that door. But the doorknob was on the inside. And only I could open that door to let Him in. Saved my life. Saved my wife. Saved my children. Saved my grandchildren. Saved my great-grandchildren. Saved the household. It's revealing to note that in Revelation 21:8. Who's the first one that's going to be cast into the lake of fire? But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the adulterers, the liars, shall all have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But notice, the fearful are the first one in line to go into the lake of fire. Fear not, for I am with you. If Jesus be for me, who can be against me? When the Israelites were going to leave Egypt, what were they told to do? Get the blood of the lamb and put it across the lintels of their house. And when the angel of death came, when he saw the blood, he passed over them. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here's the doorpost. Here's the entranceway. I placed the blood of Jesus over my mind. The enemy tries to come in. You see the blood? You can't come in. I'm covered by the blood. That's not a spiritual cliche. That is the truth. I'm covered by the blood. You can't see it. That's your problem. But the enemy can see it. Sometimes we think and speak negative thoughts. We should be careful about what we think and speak. Job declares in 22:28, Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And Job goes on in 3:25, For the thing I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Fear. Fear is torment. And the comforter does not give you torment. He came to comfort you. Fear does not comfort anyone. Fear, most fear, is demonic. When God visited His people, He knew that we were fearful of spiritual manifestations. And so He always reassured us with the gentle words, Fear not. Mary, fear not. Daniel, fear not. Isaac, fear not. Joshua, be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Only be courageous. David tells us in Psalm 27, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Is the Lord your light and your salvation? Then indeed, whom shall ye fear? He continues, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Well, who are your enemies? They're sickness, illness, arthritis, cancer, heart attacks, anything that comes along to try to eat up your flesh. These enemies are doomed to stumble and fall, according to the Scripture. We turn to the Lord to protect us, to heal us, to reconstruct us. For what He created, He can recreate. Did you know the creation is not over? He recreated me. I remember coming home after my salvation, and I told my wife, I said, "Honey, I'm changed." Well, Barbara looked me up and down, and she says, "Where?" I don't believe she had more than a 10th grade education. And, of course, me with my my master's degree from Yale University. I could never fox her. I tell you, I could never fool her. She knew. You know? We go on. Though a host encamped against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this I will be confident. I will be confident. I will be confident. That's the key. In what shall I be confident? In whom shall I be confident? I will be confident in Jesus. I will believe that He is who He says He is, and that He will do what He says He's going to do. I will be confident that the Lord is my light and my salvation, and no matter how deep the pit, He is able to bring me up out of it. You know, when you get a call late at night from your daughter-in-law saying, "The FBI is looking for your son. He absconded with the day's receipts and is taken off for California. Got a gun and got a strange woman." Talk about a pit. Mom and I were deep in a pit. Who was going to get us out of the pit? Praise God for the Lord God, the Holy Spirit He brought to our remembrance right there and then. Where it says in Philippians, "At all times, praise ye the Lord." And so like obedient children, we kneeled at the foot of the bed and we began to praise the Lord Jesus Christ, tears streaming from our eyes, our hearts broken. And yet, we're giving praises to our God. And He put us to sleep like babies and woke up so refreshed the following morning. Eventually, my son called me and I said, if you love me, you throw that gun away, you put that girl on the bus and send her off, and you surrender to the authorities. Well, that's what he did. Didn't escape the sentence. Ended up in a penitentiary. Georgia penitentiary. The swamps of Georgia. Chained gang. Work outside the prison. Now get your degree from Yale University. Now get the power and the might of your family and whatever they have. Get your son out of that pit. No way. Only Jesus was able to take him out of that prison. You see, I don't have a religion. I used to be religious. I don't have a religion anymore. I have an experiential relationship with my Jesus. That's all there is. What denomination are you? I don't know. Jesus didn't tell me. I go to an Assemblies of God church because they're the closest one that follow the book to my understanding. I tried others. And I know my God is a God of authority. And the enemy loves Lone Rangers. Let me go on. We have to be confident in all of this, not in ourselves. We are confident in the fact that the Lord is our light and our salvation. In the flesh, we have no confidence. But in Him, we are more than conquerors. I often ask, "Lord, You know who I am. You know what I was. You know what the years I lived B.C. before Christ. You know how I treated my wife. How unfaithful I was. Why are You so good to me?" And the answer was there all the while in Psalm 91. Psalm 91, 16 lines. Verses 1 through 13, all the wonderful things Jesus would do for you. And then He says it there in line 14. 14, 15, and 16. Tell you, I'm an English teacher. And I come across a group of sentences that had 20 pronouns in it. Boy, did that twist you. 20 pronouns. Who, he, who, him. So I said, I've got to find out what the antecedent of each of these pronouns What noun shall I put in the place of each of these pronouns? Now listen to these lines. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Wonderful. But who is he and who is him and who is I? And then I realized this is something personal between Jesus and me. Me, I'm not a pronoun, I'm Ernie. And so I read this because he, Ernie, has set his, whose love? Ernie's love. Upon me, who me? Jesus. Therefore I who? Jesus, will deliver him, who him? Ernie. I, Jesus, will set Ernie on high because Ernie has known my name, Jesus. He, Ernie, shall call upon me, Jesus. And I, Jesus, will answer him, Ernie. I, Jesus, will be with Ernie in trouble. I, Jesus, will deliver him. I will honor him. With long life will I, Jesus, satisfy Ernie and show Ernie my salvation. That's a promise. God is not a man that he should lie. He said what he meant, he meant what he said. You know, after I came to know Jesus, I was the meanest teacher in school. Kids would do anything to get out of my class. But if they stayed with me, they got the very best. Now my neurosurgeon used to be my sixth grade student. Now the one who gave me a car for $5,000 when the price tag was $10,000 was my sixth grade student. You see, with Jesus, you carve deep. With all these promises of God, whom shall I fear? Therefore, since he did not give me a spirit of fear, what kind of a spirit did he give me? Paul tells us that we were given a spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind. Well, let's examine the characteristics. One, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of power. Jesus says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witness for me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You will receive power for what? To witness. That means holy boldness to speak about Jesus with power. Jesus is not a private matter. Jesus is something that must be proclaimed in public, aloud. So if you encounter me in the supermarket and you start asking questions, I'm going to speak to you right there and then. If the other customers get disturbed, that's their problem. I don't want to sound like I'm arrogant. I just want to serve Jesus. You know, I wear a hat at home, a baseball cap, but it says, my boss is Jesus. Now, you better be careful when you wear that hat. I mean, I wear that in Walmart. I wear it in the shopping center. I wear it wherever I go, the post office, wherever, and these other places. And people either look at you and smile, or they turn away. It's okay. It's all right. You see, you're making a statement. You're being bold. Not bossy, bold. This means holy boldness to speak with Jesus with power. In Jerusalem means to witness among your family, your friends, your city. I come home filled with the love of Jesus. My 8 children looked at me with wonder. This is just a phase Dad is going through. This is just something new. It'll fade away. It'll go away. Nothing holds his attention for any great length of time. And they kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. Never dropped. And they began to see I wasn't using certain words that I used to use so frequently. And I wasn't speaking some funny sayings like I used to speak. And I didn't go out with my colleagues after school for a freshener. Call it the... What do they used to call it now? The happy hour. Yeah. Something was changing. And when they realized it was for real, I used to come up to my brothers and sisters and kiss them. Can you imagine that? Nobody kissed in my family. Mama used to kiss me because I was her baby. You know? But I would reach out to my brothers and kiss them. And they turned their cheek. I kissed the other cheek. They avoided me. That's all right. But when they couldn't avoid me anymore, I still hugged and kissed them. And it come to the point where they knew the sincerity of my love. And they looked forward to a hug and to a kiss. Remember that though that you will always minister with the same spirit that is in your own home. Your home has to be in good order first. The right spirit has to be in your home. For me to go out on the field, to Guatemala, to Colombia, to Dominican, to Mexico, to England and Ireland and Scotland. What could I bring them except that which I have in my own house, my home? I made sure that each one of my children heard and got the word. In this house, Jesus rules. You want to have an argument? Don't you come in this house. You want to have a fight? Don't you come in this house. You want to raise your voice? Don't you come in this house. I'll close the door. I'll put you out. This house belongs to your mother and to me. It doesn't belong to you anymore. You're all old and married and have children of your own. Go away. And the more I tried to put them out, the more they kept coming back. Because I had what they wanted in their house. God wants you and your home to be in divine order. Then you can righteously minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, I'm not afraid to leave Mom alone. She's handicapped, a little tri-walker, has been having heart trouble for the past 35, 40 years. The enemy's been trying to take her away. He doesn't know that she belongs to me. I'm not authorized him taking her away. I still got years of wear or tear. 62 years is not enough. Concerning us, Jesus says, "Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." We have the power over all the forces in darkness in his mighty name. But we have to use this power that we have received in the holy name of Jesus. Remember the first time we went overseas to Guatemala, and when we were through preaching, Frank and I were ministering to the people. And I had this young lady, couldn't have been more 7, 8 years old, just a sweet child, following me everywhere I went. And finally she came up to me and said she wanted some prayers. So I began to pray over her. I no sooner began to pray over her, and she went down. And she began to wiggle and gasp like a fish out of water. Wow, was I scared. And I yelled to my brother, Frank, come over here. I said, I got a live one. And Frank says, I can't. I'm praying for her mother. Little did we know that it was the grandmother that was the witch of the village. Didn't Jesus say in John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works shall ye do? How do we do these greatest works? Through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Jesus had this all in mind when he said, I'm going to the Father, but I will send another Comforter who will be with you and in you. We have the power in his name to say, you foul spirit of fear, you go in the name of Jesus. You spirit of addiction, you spirit of tobacco, you spirit of alcohol, you spirit of sickness, whatever it is. Have faith, believe. They command them all to go in the name of Jesus. And when I begin to question how much faith I've got, Jesus knows how much faith I have at that time. And so I boldly ask him, Lord, increase my faith. I believe, Lord Jesus, help thou my disbelief. And every time I get a new charge. Power is released by prayer, by praying in the Holy Spirit. Daniel was cast in the lion's den because he prayed to the living God. He was also released from the same lion's mouth through prayer. In the name of Jesus, we have to do this same thing. Use the same power. Call upon it in times of trouble. Secondly, we have received a spirit of love. You know 3:16, John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you any idea how old you are now? Oh, yeah. Well, it's chronological. At a certain time, period in time, I was born. Okay? At a certain period of time, I was conceived. And it is appointed a time when I shall no longer be what they can call a human being. But I am living eternally. You see, I have already begun my eternal existence. And that's a comfort to know. Yes, this body is wearing out, but the spirit is ever quickening. When I'm with Jesus, I'm 18 years old. When I step out of his footsteps, I rapidly become much older. Just turn that 18 around. It is only through his spirit within us that we are able to love others. Now, Mama had 3 girls and 6 boys, and I was the baby. I was not a very good baby. After all, I was Mama's baby. They had their turn being Mama's baby. But I was the last. You see, you're always Mama's baby. And they were told in no uncertain terms by this short Italian woman, take care of the baby. Take care of the baby. Take care of the baby. And when this baby got married and ended up having more babies than all the rest of them, take care of the baby. See? And this baby didn't know how to love them back. How could I ever love my wife when I did not know what love was? Until the God of love came into me and began to teach me ever so patiently, stumbling, falling, tripping, walking backwards, and yet he taught me how to love my wife. You see, I'm going to stand in front of Jesus someday, and he's going to ask me, what did you do with that woman I gave you? The books are open. He knows everything. I gave you these children. What did you do? We can easily love God. There's no problem there. But if we're really honest before God, we have to admit that there's some people we don't like. I love my brothers, mind you. I'm not too keen about Brother Fred, though. Eh? And I love my brother Vinny, but I don't like his arrogance. But I love them, you see. And I know Jesus loved them. And what Jesus loved, I am commanded to love. And so when I go twice a month to this Jewish home for the aged, where most of the people are non-Jews, they're shut-ins, abandoned, old. Jesus says, love them. Love them. I serve them communion once a month. Some of them cannot hold it. Hold it up to your lips. Yea, if you give so much as a glass of water to one of these. Most of them are Afro-American. But I told them again and again, what are the 2 words? The 2 words. The first 2 words of the Lord's Prayer. And they say, Our Father. And I said, is he your father? And they go, yes, Brother Marshall, yes. Well, he's my father too. How could that be? And I'd get him by the hand and say, look, you're no matter how tan I get, I'm not going to be the same color you are. Are you sure he's your father? And gradually it sinks into them. If you really mean those 2 words, then we are his children. We are brothers and sisters. Jesus doesn't look on the outside. Jesus only looks on the inside. I don't want to say my Jesus is imperfect and he's colorblind, but he's blind to any imperfection of yours. He sees it not. You are his most precious child. Think about that when you feel like having a pity party, when you feel that you've been defeated. Jesus loves you, Ernie, just the way you are. Short, stumpy, just the way you are. Praise God, even though I'm not worthy, he has made me worthy. And now he uses me. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is more than love. He is joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and more. Through him, we can also have his character. He will supply over and above abundantly, more than we can ask or think. He is the spirit of life. Without him to direct our pathway, we cannot make it. It's impossible. It's impossible to be a Christian without the power and the love of the Holy Spirit to motivate us. And finally, we have received the spirit of a sound mind. God knows that when we enter his kingdom, the greatest battle that will ever be waged will be the battle for our mind. It is a daily battle. It is a never-ending battle. And it will continue until we are with the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, at the latter days, who can rid me of this body of death? Paul, mighty man of God. He's saying at these latter days, he's still struggling. Just as God assigns to each of us a guardian angel to direct us in our life, the devil also assigns to us an unholy guardian angel to direct us away from the straight and narrow, into that slippery road that leads to destruction. So the battle is for the control of our minds. For we are slaves of whosoever controls our minds. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, He starts to rebuild our minds if we listen to Him. Paul tells us in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way our minds are going to be renewed is through the power of the Holy Spirit. God knows that when we enter His kingdom, the battle is going to be waged, especially in our minds. Paul also warns us of this battle in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Sometimes we try to dig for deep meanings in the Word of God. Believe the simple word that Jesus gave us. Believe in his promise, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. How will he direct my path? Through the Holy Spirit directing my mind. I submit my mind to you, Lord Jesus. I'm reading in the Bible and I don't understand it clearly. Reveal it to me. If it's for me, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, reveal it to me. If it's not for me, let it go. See, I'm not a theologian. I don't split hairs. I don't argue about things. That's all I know is Jesus' love. That's all I need to know is Jesus loves me. And he wants me to show you his love. I could not understand the natives of Guatemala or El Salvador. They could not understand me. But they could understand the Lord God, the Holy Spirit. And whatever their need was, the Lord God, the Holy Spirit fulfilled their needs. Hundreds upon hundreds of healings. We worked for hours. You see? Just an extension cord. Just an extension cord. No good unless you plug it into this. To the power. But when I'm plugged in, I can be more than a giant. I don't have to worry about how short I am. I'm more than a conqueror. Yes. Sometimes the battle is daily and fierce. Worry, worry, worry. Will I get that job? Will I have enough money to pay my bills? Will my husband be saved? Will my wife be converted? Will I ever be in good health? What's happening here? You're having a battle. Time and time again, I've spent sleepless nights tossing and turning, arguing with someone that's in my mind. Call upon the Holy Spirit. Say to Him, Holy Spirit, please help me. This battle is too strong for me. Please take over the thoughts of my mind. You're not talking to an itch, you're talking to a person. He wants to hear you. He was sent for that express purpose, to listen to you. You don't say, I hope you're not too busy. That's his business. The battle is too strong for me. Please take over the thoughts of my mind. Then I bind every evil spirit that has given me unrest in my mind in the name of Jesus. And I command it to leave me in the name of Jesus. Nothing is impossible with Jesus. Everything we see or hear is recorded in our mind. It is not too great a task for God to quicken our minds and to bring to our remembrance things that we have learned years ago. Now, we're told to test every spirit to see whether it's God or not. No, some people say, is this you, God? Am I hearing from you? Well, John in 1 John 4:1, remember, Paul says that the devil comes as an angel of light to deceive the saints of God. All this happens mostly in your mind. What is real and what isn't real? The Holy Spirit is real. He is the Spirit of truth, and He will guide you into all truth. How do we know that God is talking to us? Everyone wants to know that. Whenever I ask Him, does a peace come over my spirit when you hear the message? See, what did Jesus say? I'm going to leave you? My peace I leave unto you, not as the world giveth, but as I give it, the peace that passeth all understanding. I don't have to understand. I just have to experience the peace that comes over my mind when I'm tempest-tossed in the sea of my bed. Test everything. Test every word. The Holy Spirit does not mind being tested. We continue to read, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." How? Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit that have been given to the body of Christ. We have received through the Holy Spirit word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, so that we can know what God knows about a certain situation. By speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecies, we can speak what God wants us to say. Through the gifts of healing, of miracles, and faith, we can do what God wants us to do. Knowing all this, family, it is important that we allow the Holy Spirit to have complete control of our minds. For James says, a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. Psalm 125 tells us, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but will abide forever. Paul told Timothy that the Holy Spirit would create in him a sound mind. But God also gives us free will. The devil knows this, so he tries to capture our mind. There is and will be a battle for your mind all the days of our life. But you become the slave of the one who controls it. A healthy mind that loves the righteousness of God and hates sin and evil as God does will also affect the body in a positive way. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, in 2 Corinthians. What strongholds? The strongholds in your mind. Those thoughts that come and build a great stronghold. 43 years I built strongholds in my mind of arrogance and pride and lust and all kinds. It'll come down easy, but you chip away at it. 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 And then what do? You begin to start filling your minds with godly words. Many years ago, I began to read the Bible through the year, from Genesis to Revelation. Every day, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, Proverbs. Every day, every day, every day. Don't leave the bedroom. Don't have breakfast. First feast on the Word of God. You see, I have inculcated in my mind, this is the way of life. You start the day with Jesus and then leave it up Him to take care of the rest of the day. My favorite scripture is in Isaiah 54:17 that you know so well. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against me in judgment, Thou, Lord Jesus, shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of God, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I call upon the Holy Spirit to fill you with His perfect love. For there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. When the enemy attacks you, remember who you are. Remind the devil who you are. I am a son. I am a daughter of the Most High God. He can't do this to me. You can't fill me with those thoughts. I will not allow them to stay in my mind for 1 minute. Get out of me in the name of Jesus. Will the battle ever be over? Not as long as we're on this earth. We must remember who the Holy Spirit is. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Say to the Holy Spirit, you are love, you are joy, you are peace. You are long-suffering, you are gentleness, you are goodness, you are faith, you are meekness, you are temperance. Make me like you. In closing, I wrote a prayer at the bottom of my scripture list. It wasn't supposed to be duplicated, but it was. Therefore, it must have had to be duplicated. There's no coincidence. Amen. So I would ask you to join me by standing and reciting this prayer. Holy Spirit, please come in with all that you are and take the place of all spirits of fear. I have commanded them out. Now fill me with your healing, your healing love. Your peace, which passeth all understanding. And also fill me with the joy of the Lord. Let me be able to have a forgiving nature. And that is one that is free of fear. Show me what I must do to restore any broken relationship with those I have resented. Show me what I must do in order to have a fear-free life. I ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus.
My
Lord,
my
Savior,
and my God.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm just a family man.
And I care of the baby.
That's right. I'll never stop being the baby. See? Jesus loves me. I don't say that in pride. I say it in humbleness. See, I can't change me inside. What you see is what you got. Every day of my life is making me more transparent. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Well, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you mostly, most God, high God, for one more opportunity to share with my brothers and sisters what you have given me the joy to experience. Lord, I didn't particularly care to have my daughter in an insane asylum with her mind blown by drugs. I didn't care to see my boy in prison, my daughter attempting suicide, another son in alcohol. But you took him out.
Amen.
You see, I can only testify about that which I have seen and heard.
Amen.
Glory to God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.